Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello, Scope fans, episode 222. Let's remember how to do this thing, gentlemen. It's been a long time.
I see squiggly lines in my audio application, which means sound is being recorded, so that's
excellent.
A good start.
The last time we were here, as in this studio, was sometime in December of 2015. We are now in the year of our Lord, 2016.
Took our traditional post-holiday or pre- and post-holiday hiatus.
Yeah. Maybe a little.
There's not a lot going on for us to talk about anyway, other than Star Wars, and we've covered ad nauseum in the previous two episodes. So.
And we'll do a little bit of that today. Because
now you do a postmortem.
When we did cover Star Wars back in December, the last show that the three of us did together, none of us had seen the film. It was just right around the corner.
Right.
Since that time, I have seen the film twice.
Mm-hmm.
Jared has seen the film.
Cinco
times.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Adam? Have you seen the film?
No, saying spoiler free until it actually comes out.
And mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So
what? You haven't seen it?
No, I've saw it.
Okay.
Did you see it with your lady?
Yep.
Did you see it?
Careful
in your...
with that mic technique.
I know.
Don't be hitting that.
I'm
with your...
really rusty.
You are. You're
feels
super
low.
Close. You want to
move it up?
You can.
A little bit?
You can try to. That one's a little weird. And try to stay a few inches away from it.
Yeah. Don't eat it.
I really like getting all.
It's not in. A lozenge.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie in your traditional comfy recliners?
Where yes,
you
of
always
course.
See all your
the only
rooms?
Way to see movies, right. in my opinion.
Was it in 3D or
3D? We did see the 3D version.
Okay.
To which Mandy said, "Why were we wearing those glasses?" And I said, "Because it was in 3D." And she said, "I don't think so."
The 3D isn't that tremendous.
No, but it's if you take a second during the first time the Millennium Falcon flies, you're like, "Hey, there's a 3D scene."
Yeah.
Just completely oblivious to
it's subtle.
Yes.
Essentially.
Subtle. Which is totally fine, the way it should be.
I've seen it in both 3D and 2D.
Me too.
For $1.50 extra now, it's fine for me.
I've spoiled Angela now. She will only see theatrical movies in VIP seating at the Showplace Icon. Which I guess is a step up from not going to see theatrical movies at all. So,
yes.
Yes.
So we've opened up some options for date night.
Very, very good. So, Adam, I don't know if you saw our review, Jared and I. What do we give it, Jared? 3.5 stars?
Yes.
And it was interesting because we went to see Hateful Eight shortly after that. And did we give Hateful Eight 3.75 stars?
I think we may have given it 3.5 as well.
But we, looking back at it, we sort of felt like we like Star Wars better than Hateful Eight.
Right.
So
you can like a movie more, but feel like it's... Because, it has... I don't know what the right term is, but... there's a sense of pretense with
sure.
Our initial score on The Force Awakens was rendered, minutes after having seen the first screening. By the time we saw Hateful Eight, I had already seen it, The Force Awakens, three times.
Yeah. Should we do another review right now since you've seen it multiple times?
can we expand the scale beyond four? Because I'm thinking, no, just kidding.
So I feel like after seeing it twice, I was slightly less critical the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely looking. I don't know going into Star Wars what I was feeling, but my brain knew that it was not going to be like it was when I was 3 years old. But yet, there's still an expectation that it's going to capture some of those feelings,
right.
And it didn't really.
And you're just not that person anymore.
I'm not that person.
You're too cynical. You know what happened? You reread those journals,
and that was it.
It broke you.
It changed everything. Not a lot of Star Wars reference in there, by the way.
Strange.
Strange indeed. But the second time around, I sort of let loose and I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't get caught up in some of the plot issues because, let's face it, all of the Star Wars movies have plot issues.
They do.
You can say whatever you want to, but people still do dumb things or certain things are overlooked.
Or things happen very conveniently.
Yeah. I still don't like that, and there are just a couple of issues of in The Force Awakens that I didn't like. But
I think some of those may resolve themselves once the rest of the trilogy plays out because... Yeah, some of those convenient things may not actually be so convenient once some backstory is revealed to us, if speculation and theories are to be believed.
And I will be reading the novelization very shortly. It's on reserve at the library, and I'm next in line. So my feeling is that some of the plot pieces will be fleshed out a little bit in there as well.
Yeah, like confirmation of Rey being cared for by what's his face, whose name I'm not going to remember. Planko, Pluto,
Unkar.
Unkar
Plot.
Yeah,
we don't. Yeah, that's a weird relationship that I would like to see spelled out a little bit more.
Sure.
But Jared and I, you saw our review. What did you think of the film, Adam?
I loved it.
Let's recap for everybody.
Yep.
The only Star Wars film you saw in the theater, or the first one, was Return of the Jedi.
The first one I saw the prequel trilogy were the first ones I saw.
So you never saw Return?
Like the re-releases I saw in 97, 98, 99.
So Adam is a young pup.
Uh-huh.
He did not.
This week, Mandy told me I only have gray hair. She said I don't have brown hair.
I see little brown hair somewhere.
She admitted she was lying.
And then she cackled at you.
Yep.
As women do.
Just watching me old.
Then you said, look at my pubes, honey. Then you'll see
Blonde. Frosted tips.
Well,
she is not expecting that.
Your crotch is more of a surfer, apparently.
I figured there'd be a little ginger action down there.
No.
Get one of those rainbow.
I have a soul, so it can't be.
So you loved it.
Maybe a little Himalayan salt down there?
Himalayan, I don't know what that is. But
yeah, it's like pink.
Yeah.
We use that.
Gotta write that down for it later. Anyway, talk about the film.
It was really good. We came out of it, and Mandy, who I'd made watch 4, 5, and 6... the week leading up to it, let's say 2 weeks leading up to it, because she was like, I've seen them, I just don't remember, I guess. And she saw 1, 2, and 3, and again, she, whatever, I wasn't going to spend the time to watch those.
Sure.
She was like, that was the best one, easily. And I was like, yeah, I mean, from a action movie popcorn standpoint, it's easily the best one.
If you're coming to it, if you haven't seen 4, 5, and 6 before seeing 7, I mean, 7 is a modern film.
Yes.
It's got, the pacing, the action, and the cinematography and the special effects of a modern film.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of those, if you didn't grow up with 4, 5, and 6, you could look at them now and go, they look like old movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fine. I like them, but they're old movies.
Yep. And the questions that it doesn't, that it raises, were the kind that, like, oh, I'm really intrigued to see how they answer these. And 1, 2, and 3, the problem is you knew the biggest answer already. This is going to be Darth Vader. So, like, all the questions that they were raising were like, oh, I wonder how they're going to vote on that bill in the next, whatever. Like, it doesn't, none of it mattered anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe they won't be satisfying answers 100%, but like, they're ones that I'm interested to see them answer. Like,
going forward is always better than going back. Even if you, the problem with the prequels, and we won't spend too much time on this, but even if you watch them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so much stuff is spoiled by it. For the later films are spoiled by the early films, which just seems stupid to me. Why would you do that?
But
going forward, there's always going to be new horizons and new stuff and new secrets to reveal that you didn't see coming. So,
one thing about the Episode 7 film that we hear a lot is how it is just a beat-for-beat replay of episodes 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one major difference in this film that episode 4 does not have.
The giant space station is a planet.
It's a planet.
No.
It is that...
Oh, did I spoil it? Sorry.
Yes. Episode 4 did not really leave you with questions.
Right.
I mean, you were not worried about lineage.
No.
The only thing you knew is that Darth Vader survived and the beat goes on.
Right.
I mean,
You may have had questions about the world that was being created or the universe that was being created just out of your own curiosity. But the film itself didn't say, here's a big cliffhanger that we're not going to answer in this film.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they could have never made another Star Wars film, which is what they intended to with this film. And it could go on. It was fine. You would not feel unsatisfied.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are different structural and narrative changes for this film that will be interesting to see if they continue to do that, especially when they get to the last of the new episode trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to end, and where are things going to go from there?
Right.
So
Kylo Ren becomes a good guy. Rey becomes a bad guy.
Well, apparently we won't know everything that are going to learn about Rey until episode 9. So, that'll be interesting.
Well, it'll be interesting tightrope to walk. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I can say about episode 7, looking back, is that I think J.J. Abrams did a great job of balancing nostalgic expectations with a modern film like you mentioned, Jared. It's, such a difficult job to do, and the guy did it.
He did
with the exception of those giant space balls rolling around on the Han Solo.
The Rathars. That's still that whole sequence
could be gone as far as I'm concerned. Sure. It was a waste.
Find a different way.
It did not need to be there. But everything else in that film felt satisfying.
It was the pod race of the movie. The most surprising thing to me was how much Harrison Ford was in it. Like, I thought it would be cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, and how much, like, I don't want to, you know, like, he was acting, so I don't want to be like, it seemed like he was having fun. But, like, he seemed to, you know, from the viewer's aspect, enjoy his role in it.
When was the last time you saw Harrison Ford in a film where you're like, wow, this guy is doing something?
Witness.
I mean, it's been a long time. We saw Ender's Game, Jared, remember?
Yeah.
And it was like he was sleepwalking through.
Cashing a check on that one.
Yeah. Maybe that's not how he considers his performance, but Harrison Ford has not been compelling on...
Since he was Jack Ryan, let's say.
Let's say.
Potential, yeah. That's a
Air Force One.
Right.
You know? So
get off my plane!
Here's the thing. I had heard rumors for a long time that Harrison Ford was going to... Han Solo was going to be the feature of the film.
Okay.
But... Still, to see it in action was a bit of a surprise.
Him getting killed with a shock tube, by any means?
Spoilers, man!
It was not...
We're like 2 months on, practically, at this point.
It was disappointing, but I don't think it was a shock at all. No. I mean, Jared and I talked about it.
When the scene started, you knew it was what was going to happen. Yeah.
It was just coming. You had to have some sort of big event push it to the next part of the story, and a main character dying... Yeah, in a hilarious way. It had to be done. Now, for the record, I can't say that I'm completely happy about it because... Mm-hmm.
Would you say you're
disappointed? A little bit. I mean, and I read a great article over, you know, maybe it was Gawker or one of those affiliated sites talking about the biggest disappointment of the film is the fact that any sort of happiness that came out of the original Star Wars films...
Yep.
Are sort of negated with the death of Han Solo. Like, what was the point of it
all? Well, and everything that happened in between with Han and Leia. Like, oh, they're going to be together and happy. And like, no. They ended up parenting a future Jedi killer, and then they break up over it, and it's a whole thing.
I mean, you wanted some sort of satisfaction, you know, of success for all three of those main characters. And you're finding that that was not the case, or at least it wasn't the case for very long.
Right.
I'm sure the stories
nothing lasts forever. It's okay.
Yeah. But of Luke's Jedi Academy and...
Right.
And,
like, oh, they're going to restart the Jedi. And like, nope, that's going to end in failure.
It's not going to be, hey, it's a happy ending on Endor, and then everything's going to be great for a long time. But then this outside threat comes in and Fs everything up. It was, you know, sort of the House of Cards falls pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And
it happened from within.
Yep. And one of the best, most loved characters of the entire Star Wars universe, maybe of cinema, is offed.
Mm-hmm.
By a jerk-faced, perfect-haired son of a bitch.
Named Matt. He's a radar technician.
Named Matt. Undercover. So there we go. Star Wars is covered. Adam loved it. Jared loved it. I loved it.
Just as a quick closing remark, I think a lot of hay was made about this, how this was going to be a return to practical effects and how this was going to be, you know, like an old way of making films. And it turns out... There's an awful lot of digital work in that film, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just think it's weird that everyone just grasped onto that. People, I've actually seen think pieces where it's like, this is directors are turning their back on CGI. I'm like, no, they're turning their back on shitty CGI.
Yeah.
They know that they need to elevate their game and pick the right tool for the job. So.
Maybe directors are turning their back on digital film versus using real film.
That's still a personal choice.
The reality is that we have reached a moment, and it is a glorious moment in cinema, where CGI is as good as anything if it is used correctly.
Yeah.
You don't know that it's being used,
and
it looks as real.
Yeah, I mean there were shots, you know, specifically the Millennium Falcon TIE Fighter chase through the desert.
Yeah.
They were 100% digital, except with maybe a couple little character things that were composited in, but 100% digital. Oh, and I learned about the concept of deep compositing as well.
Well, you'll have to tell me about that off the
camera. It's compositing in 3D space, not just in 2D planes, which I don't fully understand, but apparently it makes all the difference.
Very good. Well, and I think the change probably started, if you think about maybe Iron Man or something somewhere around that time, where you could have Iron Man exist in a fully lit, non-dark area walking through the desert.
Yep.
And it looks great.
Yeah. And they've been able to do hard surfaces like spaceships and stuff really well for a long time. So
we're there. And it's exciting to see. And I would expect nothing but top line special effects from all the Star Wars films from now on. Any film should look that good. I mean,
Rogue One, I hear, is going to be all puppetry. But well, there I think we after go. That one,
great. Just what I want is like a Fraggle Rock. Do that.
How do we feel about the 6 month delay of episode?
Not a surprise at all.
Okay.
I thought it was sort of weird that they had it set up that way. I think that there was an emotional connection to having Star Wars in May.
Yeah.
But
once you see that you can sort of rule the roost for a month and make a ton of money in December.
Disney has too much. That's the thing. They own our childhood, and they can own it in the summertime. They can own it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Summer, anytime in between.
May can be Marvel movie. December will be Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Next show, we're definitely going to talk about the DC movie universe, so get ready for that. I think that'll be a spirited debate.
Spirited
debate. Let's take a quick segue from Star Wars, and let's move into the other thing that all of our fans are clamoring for, and that's Super Bowl talk.
I'm playing the Fox theme, even though this is against CBS. That's what I have.
How good is the CBS theme? So, before we get to the Super Bowl, let's talk about the utter disappointments, the love-hate relationship that we have with our Minnesota Vikings, the love-hate relationship Adam has with his Washington football team.
Oh, okay. Say it.
So, if any of our listeners recall,
Washington Breadsticks, that's what it should
Washington
be.
Washington Breadsticks, Minnesota Vikings. I think there were definitely higher hopes for the Vikings this year in terms of their success. Redskins were a bit of a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And in a weird twist of fate, the Redskins put together a great end of the season and muscled their way into the playoffs.
Sure did.
Home field advantage, as a matter of fact. Vikings
worked out well for them.
Vikings end up winning the division by beating the Packers on the road, which was an incredible...
Really smart of the Packers to lose that
incredible
game.
It was a advantageous situation for the Packers, but what are you going to do?
I really feel like the Vikings were a field goal away from being in the NFC Championship game, because I feel like the way Arizona played in the playoffs, I think the Vikings could have beat them in the next week, and that's where they went to play.
They were close to beating them in that first game. They were a couple mistakes away. Vikings, and you can speak to the Redskins if they were pretenders or for real, but to me, the Vikings all season were a team that were on the razor's edge in terms of their success and failures. They had to do excellent things on defense and special teams, and their offense really was not something that could carry you. You just had to hope that they would not make enough mistakes for you to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings were more successful than not over the season. Sometimes their offense overperformed. Sometimes they did enough. But I guess you find the games that they lost probably pinned on poor offensive play.
Defense doing everything it can.
Yep.
But
I say everything is the fault of Teddy Bridgewater's weird release.
He does have a weird release.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't like it when he uses his left hand.
It's even worse, yeah.
So I think the story of the Vikings, at least the quarterback position, will be told next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year was... transition year, because I thought they were an 8-8 team. I thought they would have an outside chance. Was it 10-6 or 11-5?
11-5.
11-5. I thought they had an outside chance of making a wild card. I did not think that the Packers would be in the situation that they were, and that's another team that will be interesting to see next year if Aaron Rodgers is on his way down or if it was just an anomaly.
Mm-hmm. Just had some work done on his knee.
Not having the receiving core that he needs. So we'll have to see what the Vikings do next year. But successful season, disappointing ending. Again, you can't blame the Blair Walsh project for that loss, even though he should have made it. The reality is that they made other mistakes that you can't make in a game like that.
Right.
You can't do it. So let's switch over to the Redskins. They win. They win out the last four games of their season,
yep.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Looking hot. They looked like they had a quarterback that is going to be their guy. Maybe he still will be. What's his name, Adam?
Who knows? Not Robert Griffin III. Kirk Cousins.
Yep. And then the Green Bay Packers come to town, and in typical Green Bay fashion, they dig deep and utterly destroy the Redskins.
What went wrong?
What went wrong?
So the Redskins had the advantage of playing a weaker schedule because they were last place last year. And they were in a division that was not good by any means. But, I mean, they played the AFC East. They played the NFC South. So they had to play Carolina. They had to, you know. So, I mean, they didn't play. It isn't the easiest schedule in the league by any means. No. But that helped. And, you know, they finished 9-7, which was way more than any.
Yeah, I mean, you probably figured they wouldn't. They would not even have a winning schedule,
no.
winning record, right?
No. Yeah, I thought, yeah, 9-7 on the outside, but probably more realistic.
So did it hurt that they made it to the playoffs and then
I don't think so.
Got kicked in the delicates? Or
no,
or
I think that.
The delicates.
So they had the second highest number of games lost due to injury in the, in the league. So they're already not a great team. And then, you know, they lost three tight ends before the second game of the season. So thankfully, Jordan Reed didn't get too banged up throughout the year. Certainly could have.
Adam's a good excuse maker, isn't he, for his team?
He is.
He's got all the stats from Pro Football Weekly.
Do you make up clever nicknames for your team's players, like Shane does for the Vikings, like Thielen and Dealin?
No, I'm not good at that.
Jared loved that. That might have been my highlight of the year.
Maybe I'll watch. Maybe
and then your wife likes it when I demote the Captain Munnerland down to lieutenant or something.
He's got to have good plays to keep that right.
What were his parents thinking?
I think it's probably pretty clear what they were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the Redskins had a wide receiver that wasn't going to make the team as a wide receiver convert to cornerback starting in the playoff game. I mean, like, you know, they had some issues.
So you were just happy they made it to the...
Sure. I mean,
So
I think,
what is that? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What does that mean for next year?
They're going to regress. I mean, they're going to have a much harder schedule. They play the NFC North, so we get another Scooper Bowl. Great.
I think the Vikings, if you compare them, I think the Vikings have a pretty advantageous schedule for next year. I don't think it's as hard, but I think the Vikings are another team that could regress as well. Yeah. I mean, you just don't know with a division like the NFC North where... The Packers are always going to be in there, and the Bears and Lions could be sneaky as well. You just don't know.
Look how badly the Vikings defense played when they were missing some key starters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it takes is some injuries, and then you're getting destroyed by Seattle.
Well, I mean, not just them, though.
You know, 35-7.
You look at what happened to the Cardinals. As soon as they lose Mathau, I forget how to pronounce his
name. Walter Mathau. Walter Mathau,
He's a grumpy old guy.
Everything went to shit for them, except the first Green Bay game, somehow they destroyed them in that one. I agree that I think both teams could regress. I mean, so yeah, the Redskins, they'll have a quarterback. Most of the core of that team will still be there on offense. They're going to have to basically only draft defensive backs and linemen next year. Fine. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I mean, Dallas will be better next year because Romo Dez Bryant will not be half dead either, fully dead the whole year.
Maybe the Cowboys will pick up RG3. I've heard that.
This is why you don't cut RG3. You keep him forever. You don't let him ever go.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
He will immediately go to a team and then beat the Redskins every single time they play.
Well, that's the magic thing about the NFL season. Hope springs eternal after everybody is out, and bad teams can be good the next season. You always get one or two teams that sneak in.
Let's see the Browns.
Yep. So it'll be fun to see. But that being said, we still got one football game left to play. That is the Super Bowl played in what city, Jared?
Santa Clara, California.
Yes.
It's exciting.
It's a mere 3.5-hour trip if you stay in downtown San Francisco to take public transit.
I didn't even know I was going to be asked that question. I'm surprised I had
an
answer.
Very good.
Super Bowl L.
So this
year, they're not using L. Did you see that? They're like, we're not going to use L in any of the graphics because it's too easy to make it, you know, into a joke commentary on Roger Goodell, and it's not a good letter.
It is not a good letter.
It also looks like a dick.
Ken.
And balls.
Ken.
It's the most
rendered incorrectly.
I love it. So we've got the AFC representative, the Denver Broncos, with Peyton Manning, who's back in charge.
Drug user, Peyton Manning.
Drug user.
Allegedly.
Hormone user.
Possibly retiring after this game. Which would be crazy to
do. If he wins, I would guarantee he retires. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'll take some time to...
John Elway retired after he won.
Yeah, whatever. They're all weird.
What?
And then we've
His forehead can't get any bigger.
Dude, Manning,
it won't fit that. Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers with their...
What?
Cock of the walk.
Yeah.
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Never won a Super Bowl.
The Panthers?
The Panthers have never won.
in their illustrious 13-year history or whatever.
But, boy, they've made waves this year.
Mm-hmm.
The foregone conclusion is Panthers win by touchdown.
Oh, I hope they win by a lot of touchdowns and Cam Newton smiles.
Who do you want to win and who do you expect to win, Adam?
Both Panthers. And I hope that they win decisively.
And why is that?
Because I think that they're a good team.
Number one.
I think Cam Newton is a good person. And like him showing exuberance in winning is somehow taken as showboating.
Agreed.
Which is ridiculous.
I agree with that.
So it would make people that already are predisposed to dislike him even more angry.
Cam Newton gets away with celebrations that other people would be flagged on. Jared, go ahead. Who are you picking?
Who? I don't think that makes
any
sense.
You don't want any follow-up on that one, on that statement?
The Carolina Panthers get away with more celebration than other teams.
They're not taunting and they're not doing team-based.
I think you're just saying something to say something because I don't know you have the data to back that up.
I watched that last game closely, Jared.
No, you watched the celebration.
I did. And there was times where they were in the end zone for almost a minute dancing around like
you
crazy.
You saw the presentation that Fox Sports allowed you to see. You didn't actually see the game.
It was a disgusting act, Jared.
Okay.
It was a disgusting act. Go ahead.
I'm just saying your bias might be showing a little bit. Anyway.
Of course I'm biased. I have opinions. I'm not a robot.
That's fine.
Go. Who do you want to win? Who do you expect to win?
White quarterbacks celebrate all the time. No one gives them shit.
Wow.
I would love Teddy Bridgewater to celebrate like crazy.
He's too even killed for
that. And by the way, did you hear that Cam Newton has more fun in football than anybody else? He just loves the game more than anybody else.
That's a stupid train of thought. Yeah. Because it's like, come on.
And those kids, because... Cam Newton and his Carolina Panthers are the only team that gives football to kids, so they are better. Next.
All right. So for the big game.
Maybe the Vikings shouldn't have lost.
I would like to see Peyton Manning get one more ring.
Okay.
I feel bad that he's only got one and his brother has two.
No, that's the funniest thing. That always has to be the case.
I don't have this hate for Peyton Manning like some people do. Yes, his appearing in so many commercials is ridiculous. We hate that part. But as a player, I think he's one of the best ever. And I'd like to see him get a second ring, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Did you like my Peyton Manning? You played a real good game at the end when he was celebrating.
That was awesome.
That was another great moment.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Defense is ridiculous.
What we're saying is you should really watch football with us.
They could win.
I'm entertaining to watch football with.
So I think it's going to be Panthers win. And are we doing scores or not?
No, I have not done my prediction yet.
Okay. So I want Broncos to win. I think Panthers will win. Okay. My podcasting mouth is not awake yet. Sorry, folks. Hey, welcome here.
As much as
Radio Graffiti, who? What, go ahead.
What's the phrase of pays, Jared? Adam, so here's the thing. You think you have me pegged. You think you have me in a box. You're wrong. You don't.
Whoa.
You don't have me in a box. I have a particular standard for NFL Super Bowl games, because that's the only place you can play Super Bowls is in the NFL.
You mean the big game?
The big game. Sorry, we shouldn't be saying that. My default pick is always go with the team that's never won a Super Bowl. So I reluctantly want the Panthers to win.
You like to spread it around.
I do like to spread it around. I would like to see every team.
You're like the Obama of NFL picks.
I am like the Bernie Sanders. I feel the burn in football, the socialist burn.
Kind of is socialist, though, if you look at the way they share money.
I just think that it's great for it would be great for every city that hosts that has a football team to experience that, because I think it is a huge deal. So I'm hopeful that the folks of North Carolina can bring home a Super Bowl win, even if I think that their team's a little showy for my taste.
You know what?
Shane just wants some karmic balance so the Vikings finally win one.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that. As someone who's been alive for three Super Bowls for my home team, it does feel really good.
Yeah.
So,
well, I remember the Twins winning in 91 and 87, and it was like a euphoria you could not understand, especially for a city like Minneapolis that is starved for that kind of stuff.
The Lynx have two championships.
I was going to say the way the city comes alive when the WNBA Minnesota Lynx win a championship.
Okay, it's great.
It's something to behold.
It is great, but it's not quite the same. I don't know in terms of what the outcome should be. I feel like by all statistics, the Carolina Panthers should win this game handily.
That Denver defense is
but
serious.
I want a close game. Sure. I mean, there's nothing more depressing than watching playoff games that do not include your teams.
I mean, like the
dominating,
like 2 years ago, Denver and Seattle, when it was over.
Yeah,
like the first muffed snap, you it was like, "Oh, game's over."
You want these games to be close. You want them to be exciting. You want to have a reason to tune in. So I really hope it's close. I would not be angry if Denver won, but they've had their time to shine. and I don't think that that's going to happen. Jared,
yeah.
Adam, do we want to do scores?
Sure, whatever.
Why not? I'll just
go ahead. Whip something out, Jared.
I have Panthers 35, Broncos 24. Therefore, no extra points will be missed and no two-point conversions will be made or attempted.
Adam?
I'm going to say 28-24.
Panthers. I think it's going to be a close game like that, too. I'm going to say
23.
I'm going to undercut you by $1.
Wow, interesting.
Oh, wait. Are we playing Price is Right rules? I messed up.
So there you go, guys. Football is covered. The Star Wars is covered. And guess what? We've got more things to talk about because the show is not long enough as it is.
No.
And we're coming back with Adam's news. So more Scope right after this. Under the Scope. Adam.
No. Yeah.
Guess what?
Right.
It is time for your segment we call Information of the News.
Hi.
Hi!
How are we doing?
We're doing great.
Okay.
We're about 38 minutes in on this, so let's...
Yeah, 31.
Or 31. Jared, whip up some funny sounds. I think that Adam
no, I'm good.
Needs it.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm. So the news, obviously, this week dominated by rap-related things. Not
some Kanye, some B.O.B.
Yeah,
some,
not rap necessarily.
Some other people I haven't
people
heard
involved
of.
In the hip-hop yeah. scene. Yeah. MC Chu.
Yeah.
MC Chu.
MC Chubby.
So the first thing that happened, I don't know chronologically if this is accurate, but I think the thing that was in the public mind.
Is there a Storyfy thread we can follow on
no,
this?
Not yet. Mm. Rapper B.O.B.
Mm-hmm. What does that stand for?
I don't know. He had a big hit with Bruno Mars in 2011.
I believe his given name is Robert. Okay. And so it's a fun play on the nickname of the diminutive Bob.
It's jovial.
He's from Atlanta, the ATL.
Gotcha. Hot Atlanta.
He has a lot of Twitter followers.
He's got a lot of things to say.
Instagram followers, yep. And so he started tweeting out on Tuesday night about how the Earth is flat because he was posted a picture from high up on a mountain, maybe not that high.
So anyway. The Earth is flat.
That's his
that's
accusation.
His take
from his own scientific observation.
Right. So his picture showed.
If I see it, that's the way it is.
It was like from a hill right. or a mountain, and showed two towns. Mm-hmm, he said mm-hmm. these two cities are like 60 miles away from each other. If the Earth was really round, I shouldn't be able to see the other city, right? Because it's like it should be like over
sure.
the horizon. But that's not accurate.
yes, the Earth is a very big
right.
place.
I mean, you can't see, let's say, Paris.
I mean, the Earth yeah, is only like 200 miles across, right? It's right. a real, it's round, but it's small. Right.
I can't see Rochester.
Well, you're not looking hard enough.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's like the direction you're looking in, like, you can't see lots of things. You can't see that building in Dubai.
You can't
like,
see a universal.
How does he rationalize flying to someplace?
That's the weirdest part, right? So to me, it's like, okay, well, maybe most flights yeah. fine, but it's like yeah. people from Australia can fly directly to LA, and people that think that the Earth is flat, they don't think that's really possible. Like,
so what do they think? It's trickery? It's like witchcraft?
Well, so I've started watching these videos. I wanted to do an
in-depth. He wants context.
Report.
I love this. It's like 2020 over here.
And so one of these guys.
Dateline. In-depth.
Says,
investigative reporting.
When you fly from
the scope
London,
eye in the sky is here.
London to Australia.
Yeah.
He's like, have you ever noticed you can't fly direct from London to Australia? You always stop somewhere in the Middle East. That's to disorient you. Because I think that what they're implying is that Australia is not really where they say Australia is. Like, it's somewhere
right.
else, so that
so they forge all of those satellite images of where Australia is.
What's the, what is, so you've done the research.
Uh-huh.
What is the secret reason behind convincing people the world is round? There has to be ulterior motives.
So there's a dome where the Earth is a flat plane.
Okay.
There's a dome over us, and someone found that one time. And then they decided, We shouldn't let people know that because there's too many questions. Who put the dome there? Right? All these things. So it was decided around 1500 that we would say the Earth is round. And now,
does he understand that his entire existence in the United States is predicated on the fact that some Europeans speculated that the Earth was round?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
That's all trickery, too.
I guess. Okay.
So, I mean, I would...
It's like Assassin's Creed up in here.
Yeah. It was an interesting evening for me to because I went down this. I watched like 3 or 4 videos.
He went deep into the rabbit hole.
And, I mean, they all kind of just repeat the same thing.
Investigates. Hard-hitting scope
hey
news.
Guys, why is NASA under the Department of Defense? Unless it's because they've militarized this dome. Do you know why the Challenger really exploded?
Hit the dome?
It hit the dome.
Yeah.
Like
obviously.
Well, okay, so how what are asteroids?
Can you see my face?
What are meteoroids? Or meteorites? Like what are they? I guess it's NASA
glitter,
doing them.
Glitter bombs.
This sounds like the rantings of stupid people.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I choose not to listen to scientific consensus and just basically make up stuff based on what my own uneducated eyes can see.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, later that night, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No doubt he's got a lot of followers who agree with him, right?
Yeah. So
enough.
Or are they
it's
ridiculing?
Twitter, so it's one of those where it's like you look at things, A, you don't know who's following who, right? You just see a conversation.
Sure.
And it's like it's only the ones that have like the most replies unless you like really start digging down. So it's like most people are like, you're an idiot.
Okay.
But that's I don't know. I don't know the consensus.
You're the real heroes calling an idiot on Twitter.
Right. So anyway, Neil deGrasse Tyson replies to a few of his tweets and says, hey, you know, you're wrong. Here's why. You know, one of his examples again, he said, like, this hill in New Jersey is 60 miles from New York City. If the world was really round, I shouldn't be able to see the tower. I shouldn't be able to see the skyline, but you can.
How did he know it was 60 miles from the city?
Because he's just retweeting things from this other, you know.
So he didn't actually experience this himself.
No.
He didn't, like, go on Google Maps.
He's like, oh, this makes sense.
This is 60 miles from this hill that I'm on.
No.
By the way, Google Maps is only possible because of satellite imaging and around Earth.
You mean,
anyway.
But Google satellites.
Hi-yo!
So anyway, like...
Sorry.
Hey. Neil deGrasse Tyson gets on...
It's like young earthers who are like, the carbon dating of this is only this old, and the only reason that they can carbon date things is because of radioactive isotopes that are actually like millions of years old or something. I'm paraphrasing, but the actual science of the thing that they use to support young Earth actually disproves young Earth.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, but any conspiracy theory, any evidence showing that it's wrong is more evidence to conspiracy theorists that it's a conspiracy.
You know what chaps,
it just reinforces itself. Yeah.
You know what chaps my hide is the fact that there's this sort of belief out there now that even scientists have their own agendas.
Right.
Which, you know what? I'm sure that there probably are stupid, jerky scientists who don't necessarily do their job. But the whole concept of what science is founded on is to be unbiased as best as possible.
It's
just to learn the way things work, not learn the way things work based on how you want them to work. And
to adjust what is fact based on new findings.
That is the key, Adam.
Well, how can we trust science if they're always changing their mind?
Because they're finding out new things.
It's the whole false equivalency thing, too, where it's like...
Explain that, Jared.
It's where this idea that everything... Every piece of information out there, there's like an equal and opposite version of that that can also be true. Like, no, facts are facts.
Yeah.
They are true and there is no opposite of that.
But we need to give equal time to the other side.
No.
So here to talk to us about why global warming's not real
is
Donald Trump's on our show.
Donald! We're waiting for Donald.
You're fired.
Okay, thank you.
So anyway, Neil deGrasse Tyson
just say tremendous
says
a lot.
He's wrong.
Tremendous.
The tremendous people, I'm sure.
B.O.B. comes back in the morning with a rap.
Oh, he's got a rap.
Oh, yeah. He calls out Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He dropped 16 bars?
being wrong. It's called Flatline.
Flatline.
Also, it's not just about that.
Sia also makes an appearance on that rap.
Is B.O.B. The director of the Hayden Planetarium?
No, it's Hayden Panettiere.
I was going to go that direction, too.
Got it.
The rap also talks about Obama being controlled by...
Did he host a version of Cosmos?
Yes.
Cosmos is a giant.
Okay.
It's a...
Did you call it Bobmos?
Yeah, B-O-B-Mos. Yeah. With the dots and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do.
Anyway, Obama... The rap says Obama's controlled by the Jewish Authority.
Ooh. Now we start getting into some other issues.
Talks about the guy.
By the way, nice dreidel shirt.
Thanks.
Are you controlling Obama? What kind of messages are you sending out during
the
show?
That's the Obama controlling stick right there.
Yeah. He talks about how most of the world's leaders are actually lizards. So
he's getting into the lizard theory. That's even what I've heard about. Yeah. They're tied into 9/11.
Of course.
You know, this kind of conspiracy nutbaggery has always been there. Yeah. It's just now there's outlets for it.
Exactly.
There's
conduits for it.
So the last part
and
of
somehow
this,
that gives it more credence. Yeah. I don't.
Real quick. The last part of this, Neil deGrasse Tyson's nephew is a rapper from Philadelphia. Also, he's just named Tyson. Mm-hmm. So
he gets rid of all the extras.
Like Drake.
He did a response diss
Chicken
track
Magnet
to B.O.B. that Neil deGrasse Tyson raps / talks on. And then B.O.B. took down the Flatline song off of SoundCloud.
Yeah. Oh, school.
I'm pretty sure Epic Rap Battles has already done a song with Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I feel like there's an opportunity to revisit that.
Yeah.
Before you go on to the next story, let's just put something out there, Adam.
All right.
The world is a shitty place.
But it's a round shitty place.
The world is a better place now than it's ever been.
And you know what? To give order and meaning to what it is, sure, sometimes maybe conspiracy theories are something people can get behind. I understand why, because sometimes it's just hard to accept that bad things happen.
Right.
There are bad people out there doing bad things, or they're just bad things that just randomly happen. There's no explanation for it.
Biologically, physiologically, our brains are not meant to understand the sheer number of people, events, things happening in the world on any given day. We'll probably never be in a place where we can understand that.
Adam has it exactly right.
Thank you, Jared.
Finally, Jared chimes in. So I think that we as a species have to understand that and just get over it.
Right.
Get over it. Next story.
You're saying we need to evolve, and to do that, we need to round up all the people that don't believe, put them in FEMA camps, and re-educate them.
FEMA is the key.
Okay. Real quick, there's two more rap things. This one's my favorite.
I thought we were moving on to the next topic, but Jared, comment on these 0%. Go.
Martin Shkreli, you guys know this cool guy, the pharmaceutical guy who bought...
I read a long interview with him on Vice.
Yep. He's the he should be in the WWE because he's a great heel.
Yeah, he could be a good wrestling manager like a Jimmy Hart.
Exactly. Jimmy Hart was a good face sometimes too.
Yeah, he went back and forth.
Bobby Heenan, never a good guy.
Bobby always bad.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
So
he's smart, Jared.
This guy, he's the guy that started jacking up the prices for a rarely used AIDS medication once his pharmaceutical company bought
like 3,000% or some insane.
Rarely used?
It's that was like the weird thing about that story blowing up. It wasn't like the most commonly used thing.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was like a lot of people were going to be put out because of that.
No.
All right.
That was part of the reason why that they sold it to them because they were
Adam digs deep on the scope news.
There is a whole very, very sad and frightening world of pharmaceuticals that deal with things like that, where giant pharmaceutical companies are only investing the money in the products that a lot of people use, essentially, to make the money. And the smaller stuff, not as big a deal.
Right. It is a for-profit business.
Yep. Yeah. As it should be. Health should always be for-profit.
Anyway, he's also the guy that bought the single copy of the latest Wu-Tang album. Wu-Tang Clan did this weird thing where they made a new album. They produced one copy of it, and they said they'd sell it for auction or something. This guy bought it for $2 million. And then has been since then like just threatening like to destroy it, to just do all these things because no one likes the guy. He's playing into it now. Anyway, Ghostface Killah from the Wu-Tang Clan went on Twitter and started saying how much of a jackass he thinks this guy is, saying he'd beat him up and everything, making fun of him. Mm-hmm. So
the
Martin Shkreli goes onto Twitter with three masked men behind him. And says,
sounds like ISIS.
Starts threatening Ghostface, saying he'll remove all of his content from the new album, erase him from history.
Mm.
Goes on and on and on. I think it's a really funny thing that he's doing. Like, I mean, as a terrible human being, but
he's not great.
That's where we are so far with that. Okay.
Well, that story went places. Next one.
I thought you guys would be more interested. How about Amber Rose talking about Kanye being into butt stuff?
This is something I'm fascinated by. Let's hear this.
Okay. Amber Rose.
Who dat?
Former girlfriend of Kanye, former wife of Wiz Khalifa.
Adam's got the linealogy down here. Yep.
The linealogy
said
it's a good not word.
Said
but
that
I like it.
Kanye's into ladies sticking fingers up his butt.
All right,
Kanye did not take kindly to that.
He said it's more than a finger, honey.
Went on Twitter and said that that's not true. I don't like that. I don't like things up my butt. I don't play that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically right. What happened.
Things only come out like lyrics. Keep
exit out lyrics, Jared.
Exit only. Okay.
How about he got his love on lockdown right out his rear.
Clearly, we should have stopped with the B.O.B. story.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. Adam, you got to censor this stuff. Better know when to cut it.
TV.
Yes.
Yay!
X-Files. Did you guys watch the new X-Files?
No, nope, moving on.
I watched both of them.
Oh.
Ratings, very strong, great. Surprisingly. Yeah. Even with the mediocre reviews of the first couple episodes.
So did you know that the second episode was actually supposed to be the fifth episode in the order of it?
This is classic
what
Fox.
It is. What, is so they what does that tell
on a
you,
a six-episode miniseries, mm-hmm. They decided to reorder it?
Yep. Well, because there the first and last episode are the mythology episodes that frame the entire story, and then the four in between are supposed to be the monster of the week. But they have some mythology in there.
Jesus.
Right? So
it's a six episode. Yeah. Just tell a tight story.
Yeah, it seems very strange to me. I think that's it speaks to maybe the quality of what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fox being Fox.
I thought the first episode was mediocre at best.
Hey,
at
they
best.
Only had like 13 years to put this thing together. Let's give Chris Carter.
The second episode was slightly better, but not that much better. So I don't know. You know, I'm good for it for having good ratings, but
most of the reviews I read said three is where it starts to actually.
Well,
get good.
So they have some of the people that are known for writing the outlandish and crazy episodes of the X-Files that people love, and the third episode is written by one of them. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's supposed to be kind of funny and creepy and weird, which when you have that in a good X-Files episode, you know that something special is going to happen.
Gotcha.
So that's what we can expect.
Well, so ratings for the premiere, including DVR playback, was 21.4 million.
That's great.
Which is really good.
Doesn't matter, but...
Right.
It doesn't matter.
There's still talk of them bringing it back in subsequent years, either as another miniseries or as a...
No, I just think DVR ratings are not really... they're nice numbers to talk about, but they don't actually factor into their decision-making when it comes to buys and stuff.
So the interesting thing, though, is when you look at just 18 to 49-year-olds, it's only comparing it against other premieres from this year. Only The Walking Dead and Empire had higher numbers, and those include DVRs also. So
Fox's
anyway.
A massive ad campaign for this really paid off, I guess. And people love The X-Files.
Right.
They do forget the last year and a half of The X-Files TV show was garbage. Right. So
it wasn't all garbage. I didn't mind it.
I was like, once they sort of wrapped up the Mulder stuff in that second to last episode, and then they had all those other people come in, it didn't work as well for me. But
I was never a huge X-Files fan to begin with, so I didn't start from the beginning. I jumped in like halfway through and then
I finished it off
and then was like, eh.
I think you and I were in the same boat, Jared.
Yeah.
Because the X-Files was always a Friday night show, and didn't we always close Toys R Us on Friday nights?
You're too busy partying.
I never watched it. So until they moved it to Sunday nights, I never saw the show.
You should have used your DVR to record it.
I should have.
Back in 1997.
It was a lot of pain in the old big ass when you're trying to use that VCR.
A thing that children will never understand.
We got our first TiVo.
We got TiVo in 99. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Circuit City.
Circuit City. Hey, get any Circuit City stories?
You know what? I'm glad that you asked.
Yeah.
So I
miss that place.
I mostly put this story in here because one time, Shane, you went to go buy a new TV like during a lunch break, and I came with you during work.
That was one of my fondest memories.
That was great. I think that might have been what kicked off our I will tag along with you to Best Buy every Tuesday.
Yep.
Anyway, Circuit City, which...
Back when you bought physical media all the time.
Yeah. Circuit City, which closed for good in 2008.
In this episode, let's have a look at the...
Shush.
What?
Is coming back.
Yes. For millennials, I hear. Millennial focus, Jared.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Go ahead. Explain.
How snarky this article gets with it. It's like, for those of you that don't recall, Circuit City was exactly like Best Buy, except it's red and white instead of blue and yellow. Same store otherwise.
You had to tell them to get you everything.
Yeah. It was not... It sold the same things.
Right.
That's your similarity. Yeah, completely different. Prices were never as good.
The brand is owned by a couple investment impresarios.
Yeah.
And they have a, quote, ambitious multi-tiered game plan to get the chain back on top.
Mm-hmm.
Basically doing everything Best Buy is doing right now, which has been successful for Best Buy to kind
the
of come
to
back
a point,
up
yeah.
To yeah, where they want to be. Mm-hmm. So licensed kiosks, mobile shops, franchise opportunities. They're opening their first one this year in Dallas and in June.
Hmm.
And their website will relaunch in the spring. I love it when we hear about website launches.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a, you know, guys, we got to go start hitting F5 right around midnight.
Yep, get
and
there.
We'll be the first ones on.
But will the domain have propagated by then?
Let me be the first to say this is going to be a disaster. Okay, I mean, I'm probably not the first person to
Best
say
Best Buy's
it.
Having a hard enough time
yeah,
as it
Best
is.
Buy ain't, it's not like, oh, they've got so much of the market cornered right. that they need other people moving in on that.
Well, I mean, up until the entire market's been terrible, their stock price is doing well. So that's probably what they're focusing on
sure.
is, you know, getting Circuit City back on, back as a traded stock.
Yep.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. That'd take a while.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of shopping at Best Buy and Amazon over the holiday season. And
oh, we didn't even talk about it.
And it's
what
been
do you
great.
Feel about my main reason to go to Best Buy is
yeah?
their video game discount
because sure.
I get a 20% discount mm-hmm. on with the Gamers Club thing.
Sure.
Amazon has matched that.
Oh,
they have. And that's pretty much for every
Prime.
It's pretty much for every
Wait,
game.
How does this work now on Amazon?
If you have Amazon Prime, you get 20% off all pre-orders up until they're 5 weeks old or something like that.
So
oh,
all games.
Yes.
Now,
so you don't have to be part of, you don't have to pay money to be part of a Best Buy club to do it. You can
correct.
Just do it on Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying money to be in a Prime.
Sure, but it's so. Just another Prime. I mean, I'm already going to pay for Prime. So.
Exactly.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm that.
It's basically all new games are $48 instead of $60.
So
I'm going to have to keep that in mind.
The other thing that Best Buy did, which they have not been doing lately, is that they would have a list of 10 or so, 15 games where you could pre-order that game and then get a $10 gift card. Right. Best Buy with it, so you essentially okay. could get
it for
your games for you know $40 yeah. essentially. They have mm-hmm. that for whatever reason they have not added.
Oh, they're things. Doing it now. Like so, for the pre-orders for that I was looking at for the spring, they'll have it again.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of things on there right now.
Sure.
So there's been speculation in some of the gaming circles that maybe Best Buy is going to stop doing that.
Okay,
but I think that would
the
be
the division has it.
Yeah,
right
but I mean I think the division is it. I don't think there's anything else
okay.
beyond that. I like Far Cry Primal is not there. Huh. Street Fighter's not there.
Unfortunate.
So the question is Best Buy not having as much success with this since, you know, or they're losing money and they're going to stop doing this?
Yeah.
Or are they, you know, just reloading, essentially? So we'll have to see how it goes. But I've loved the Best Buy version of it. It's been, you know, anytime you can get a game for under 40, a brand new game for under $40, and you can turn in, if you finish it quickly, if you want to trade it in, you're going to get like $30 for it. So the game costs you
$10. And
maybe.
They also... And then Gamers Club gives you an extra 10% bonus on trade-ins. So.
So it all works out. And the Gamers Club does offer that 20% off on things like the video game toys, so like Skylanders, Disney Infinity, the Lego Dimensions,
which we're
playing. So you can get even better deals there. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Nice.
Next, Adam.
So we got some bad potential news here. Do you guys remember, what was the year of the writer's strike, the Hollywood writer's strike?
It was...
2007?
Was that like the fourth year of Lost or something? Third or fourth year of Lost? Which
see what year Dr. Horrible came out because that was a product
yes,
of that.
That is because of that. While you're looking that
I
up.
I mean, I could just 2008 it looks like.
Okay. So maybe 2007 was the strike and then it came out right after. I don't remember. Whatever the case is, Conan O'Brien grew that beard.
I could just search for it directly and get 2008 to 2008 from Wikipedia.
All right.
Or 2008 to 2008.
Well,
07 to 08. How about that?
Okay. There is a potential of a strike in the UK.
Okay.
That could delay production of some movies that we're all looking for.
What kind
to.
Of a strike?
This is a... What's the thing that you would think of the least?
A lucky strike.
Oh, sorry. What job in the filmmaking industry?
Grip.
Okay. You have a guess?
Best Boy.
Something with catering.
Very close, both of you. Lighting.
Lighting
technicians.
Are...
potentially going to strike in the hopes of getting pay increases that were supposed to come 4 years ago that they took a delay on, and they continued to have taken these delays. So there's 9 films that are currently...
How many?
Nine.
Okay.
This includes...
No.
He doesn't get it.
The Mummy. The Mummy reboot.
Who cares?
Tom Cruise cares.
Get it out of here.
I don't care.
Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan's The Foreigner.
Nope. Sounds like a terrible movie. Sounds Next.
Good. Wonder Woman?
Mm.
It's already in production.
They're filming right now.
Right. Well,
get it done before the strike and we don't have to worry about it.
Haul ass, bitches.
Bitches.
All right. Maybe this one will intrigue you.
Bitches and how?
What? Star Wars Episode 8.
No.
Is that a thing?
That movie should be immune to strikes.
Maybe that's why they delayed it already, because they anticipate the strike.
Way to think, Jared.
So that could happen.
Side on wall.
Okay.
Who knows?
Maybe Disney will just hire a bunch of strike breakers and give them a better wage.
Get those guys that dress up in the characters to set up the lights.
Yeah. I hope not.
Get the guy that screwed up the lights for Christian Bale when he freaked out.
Are you guys still playing Star Wars Battlefront?
Jared can't stop.
Oh, good for you.
So, Jared, you probably already heard on January 27th, just a few days ago, they added 3 bullet points worth of free new content.
Yep. Boom, boom, boom.
Let me tell you what they did to that game.
5 bullet points.
Oh, Jared's very grouchy about it.
They nerfed one of my favorite weapons in the game.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
I love the homing shot, but tell you what, you cannot get a lock on now.
Oh, no.
Where did this vaguely racist accent come
from? I'm a southern gentleman. This is not a racist.
It looks like you need a kerchief, and you should be dabbing your forehead and drinking some lemonade on the course. Yeah.
Not all
sweet tea.
Not all people that fly the Confederate flag, like Jared is right now, are racist.
I see Jared on a
rocket. Can you hear the stars and stripes and bars, whatever it's called, coming through my voice?
Can't you picture Jared in white linens in a rocking chair somewhere like in
Jared is
Alabama?
Actually,
I'll tell you, the warmest. The heat is hot today in Savannah.
He's replacing Norm. As the next Norm MacDonald as the next fake Colonel Sanders, I hear.
It's finger looking good. No, but seriously, they changed the homing. I know they did some balancing tweaks.
It was
and
too strong.
That was one of them. Yeah, but it was one of my favorites.
Maybe you should have stopped abusing
it. Impossible to use. Yeah,
they changed it because of you. They've been watching you.
Well, and everyone else did the same.
I brought this up because all three of us were playing it for a time. So
and Adam, you and I are the only ones that are not playing it.
Okay. I'm ranked 41. What are you talking about? I play that shit.
In February, they're going to add more free content.
I'm getting it.
New survival missions on Hoth.
Yep.
You are getting it. It's free. You have to get it.
Well, I have the season pass.
So he's getting all
this. This isn't even part of the
season
pass.
Because I'm a sucker. I know, but whatever you're talking about, I will have all of it. Every last digital bit I will have.
March, they're adding new Endor maps and a couple new modes to Tatooine.
Yep. Jabba's Palace.
And then they announced the themes of first 3 expansions for that are included in the season pass. They've got Outer Rim in March. It's got the factories on Sullust and the battle within Jabba the Hutt's palace and Tatooine.
Sounds good.
We've got, in the summer, we've got an expansion for Bespin, Cloud City. Exciting.
Lando's Place, as we like to call it.
The fall of 2016, we've got a Death Star themed
expansion. We've already got a Bespin Luke costume for that one.
Excellent.
Yes.
And then, most excitingly, Expansion Pack 4, early 2017.
That's so exciting that we got to wait another year
TBD.
For that.
Title TBD, yeah. We'll see.
What could it be?
You have any other Battlefront related news?
That's it.
I think that was all I had.
Well,
one more thing. You're ranked 41.
I am ranked 45, but that's not what I came to talk about. The fact that they have basically explicitly said no The Force Awakens content and no prequel content, that these are, as the article that Shane linked to me the other day, they are trying to preserve the canon of the original trilogy. And so that the Battlefront, at least.
So you're not going to see battle droids running around.
I didn't read into it that it was the Battlefront series forevermore was going to be just original trilogy, but
at least this game
is original trilogy based.
All right.
Makes no sense because when I'm playing X-Wing miniatures, they have everything from episodes 1 through 7 in them right now.
Excellent. Adam, give us one last story, and that's it. So pick wisely.
Oh, I don't know.
It's hard.
A lot of pressure.
This is hard.
How about DC Comics and their gritty reboots of Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Yeah.
You want me to skip this one?
No, I think it's an interesting story.
Okay. So DC Comics, they have Warner Brothers, Hanna-Barbera, part of the Warner Brothers family.
Under their umbrella.
Yes. They have announced a plan with art and people attached to it. So these things are coming soon to reboot Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters as comic books on the printed page or on your iPad for the Flintstones, Johnny Quest, Scooby-Doo, and Wacky Races. And they're putting like
The Johnny Quest one is interesting.
Right.
That's of all of them, that's the most interesting one to me. The other ones are a little suspect.
Well, it's Johnny Quest and
Space everyone,
Ghost.
Like, like Herculoids and Space Ghost, all of those sort of action stars that you have you've seen over the years in the Hanna-Barbera world, they're sort of bringing them all together.
So, Entertainment Weekly is also part of the Warner Brothers umbrella. So, I think the most recent issue has a bunch of artwork from all four series. Like they put
Jim Lee
they put Jim Lee in charge of Scooby-Doo. It's called Scooby Apocalypse.
And wow,
you
what
saw
a champion.
The picture of Shaggy. He's
like a hipster.
He has a hipster mustache. He has a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, a beard, and I think he's got plugs in his ears, the whole deal.
Very strange.
He's very upfront about
Scooby-Doo has got
his,
like some sort of virtual reality thing.
Yes.
Sure. This sounds terrible to me. All of it sounds terrible.
Scooby-Doo works so well as what it is now. I mean, they make movies all the time.
Here we go. Hold on one sec. Shaggy sports hipster facial hair. Fred has a tribal tattoo.
He does.
Daphne wields some sort of futuristic rocket launcher. And Velma appears to be 3 feet tall holding a video game
controller. I can practically hear our peers just screaming at every syllable you're saying right now. Not that it's for them anyway, but...
I think that the Flintstones art looks even worse.
It was weird.
It looked like a photo that was drawn over is what it looked like. It was very strange.
Future Quest.
It didn't work well when they made a live-action Flintstones. Why are we doing it again?
Future Quest is a team-up with Space Ghost, Johnny Quest, where they fight dinosaurs, aliens, Brack.
It could work. That could actually work, I think. Why not?
Wacky Races.
It's like Mad Max.
It's a Mad Max theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
a dangerous, scary world that is just strange and dynamic as you hope it would be.
Do you think that where some of this is coming from, Adam, is the fact that Archie Comics did a reboot of Archie, which made it more realistic, and it's super, super successful, and I actually would like to read it. I wish that was in Marvel Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe DC...
But they didn't change the art style, right? It's like, it's traditional Archie.
No, it looked...
It's modern.
I mean, the characters look similar, but it does not look like the traditional Archie.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like...
But they didn't make it weird like this.
The person that sort of established the design for it was the person that did Saga. She's the one that did the original. But, I mean, it's just they did it in a respectful way. It's a modern telling of Archie.
You're not seeing Archie's girlfriend's titties like you are in Saga?
No, or they're not. They're not cybernetic, whatever. This whole thing just seems like a mess, man.
It seems like...
Seems desperate.
It seems like a spoof.
Yeah.
It does seem
like a spoof.
Right?
Like, let's make a joke of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you
look... Like our podcast, for instance. It seems like a spoof of a real podcast.
If you look at that Scooby-Doo cover, you would think it's
a joke. Almost 10 years.
Yeah.
We've been spoofing real podcasts.
Spoofing ourselves.
Yeah. So anyway,
scoop.
I signed up to get those at my local comic book store.
And you will get a full report back to us when they hit.
You got it.
All right, Adam. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
News has been substantial, Jared.
We're
but
over
guess
an
what?
Hour.
Guess what?
What?
We've got coming soon. Let's keep it moving, Adam.
Okay. Coming soon. Music.
Yep.
This is a lot on here. I'll just go through them real quick. You can stop me if you want to talk about anything.
Yep.
The Cult. Elton John, Field Music, Junior Boys, Foxes, Lucinda Williams, Scooter, our friend of the show.
Our friend, he's got a new album.
And Wiz Khalifa, previously mentioned Khalifa.
Is Scooter's album thematically based on the Star Wars miniatures game that you're playing all the time?
So one of the expansions are...
Sorry, I derailed it, Jared.
Rebel Aces... And Imperial Aces,
yeah,
they're aces because they have a higher pilot skill number, meaning they get to move after everyone else does. This album, and I'm not even kidding, it's called Ace.
I think something is up.
Movies, The Choice, Dad's Army, Hail Caesar.
Yeah, I want to see that.
That Hail Caesar looks like an odd one.
Yeah, it does,
but it's Coen Brothers, so you got to give it a shot.
Of course you do.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies
getting bad reviews, Jared.
Regression getting.
I got a feeling we're not going
reviews.
To that screening.
I don't think so.
Misconduct.
It's Tuesday, so.
Home video
could be in the middle of a winter storm at that point.
We've got Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs on. They opened the vault, guys.
Yeah, I just saw a commercial on the Disney Channel. Audrey was watching it.
Two disc signature.
It's available. The vault, the digital vault, is open now.
What?
Blu-ray is coming soon,
and then it closes.
Hey guys, they're opening the vault.
Oh. Disney needs to get some oil, some WD-40 on that.
Also, it sounds like a wooden door.
It's a wooden door.
It's not a good vault. They should talk to Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
How
about this?
That's a zipper?
No,
someone pulling out
the
wings.
It's a very small vault.
Mm. Well, guys, I think they're closing it up again.
Oh, vault is... Sorry. Sorry, Dopey. Go back in there. No! Sorry. And it just sounds like a regular door latch.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be like spinning.
Look, they put all the money on the screen. They don't spend money on vaults.
I like it. I like that idea.
All right. Vin Diesel's The Last Witch Hunter.
Never.
Suffragette.
Suffragette City.
Rock the Casbah. Mm. Bridge of Spies. Did you guys see that one?
We did.
Was it any good?
It was fine. It was not best picture.
It was fine. That's exactly it.
Not Mad Max level. So
no. Well, I mean, they're different films, but still.
I mean, technically, yes. They're all different films.
Yes. Technically, yes. But yes. I do think that Furiosa did pop up in Bridge of Spies. I'm just saying. She was destroying the wall. As they were building the Berlin Wall, she was destroying
She's not having it.
Not having it.
our brand is Crisis and The Prophet.
Next.
Video games. Exciting times. We've got American Truck Simulator.
Jared has been waiting for that for minutes.
One of my YouTubers I subscribe to has a video of that in my feed right now. I probably won't watch it.
Cobalt. I don't know.
That's from Mojang, the developers of Minecraft. That's been in development for years.
Excellent.
And I think it's finally getting released.
Digimon
Story.
Finally
got that Microsoft money to get that game out the door.
Yeah. Well, okay, it is. Yeah, it's 360 and Xbox One and Windows only.
Yeah.
Gravity Rush Remastered.
Okay.
Mega Dimension Neptuna 7, finally. Nitro Plus Blasters.
I couldn't
Heroines
beat 6.
Infinite Duel. That's
couldn't
one
beat
game.
6.
Not a Hero. Sorcery. Tales of Symphonia. Fortified. The Great Detective Pikachu. What?
You had me at Pikachu.
That sounds great.
There's a Detective Pikachu game coming out, Jared. That is confirmed. He's got a little Sherlock hat, Sherlock Holmes hat.
What? Do you know who voices him? Danny DeVito. Never guess.
Guys everywhere.
Agatha Christie, The ABC Murders.
Is that coffee? Pikachu?
It's good.
Jared pulling out his...
That's everything that I can read before a song plays.
What? Oh.
Hit it or miss
snapping.
It. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week.
Look out!
So you might be thinking, wow, that was so much good stuff.
Yep.
How did you not pick all of those as your hit or miss, I guess? Yeah. There's so many bad things, too.
I mean, Pikachu Detective Game sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
I selected a video game as my hit it. Mm. This game not coming to consoles, at least for now, even though the it is the sequel to a game that is out on literally everything.
Candy Crush?
iPads
Candy
and
Crush?
Such. XCOM 2.
Oh, people love XCOM.
A lot of people buzzing about that.
XCOM 2. PC, yeah. Mac and PC only for now.
Yep.
Yeah. Seems to lend itself to a mouse keyboard input anyway. So.
Yes. But the other, you know, the last one, I played it on the 360. I thought it was great. But whatever, I'll play it on my computer.
Well, there we go. Xbox, XCOM 2. Yeah. Adam's hit it of the week.
Under the scope.
Gerard Depar.
What? Depar, don't call me that.
Depar, don't. Guess what?
What?
Wrap it up.
Oh, okay. We actually have a voicemail. This came in early December, right after our first Star Wars episode, I believe. It's from Cyrus from Albuquerque.
We love Cyrus.
It's been a while since he called in. I did cut it down a bit because there is some Vikings talk that is not relevant anymore a month and a half later, but here we go.
This is Cyrus from Albuquerque, New Mexico, calling in. I really enjoyed the episode. This last Star Wars one was really good.
Of course he did.
It was good to talk about all that stuff, get all this excitement is building, and it was cool to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Hope you'll enjoy the wrap-up.
I do agree on the Battlefront aspect. I've been playing it a lot on the PS4. And
why are we not friends,
pretty
Cyrus?
Shallow. It's had me coming back, though. I play it, and it's fun for what it is. I think that they did do a really good job capturing the feel of movies.
It's pretty.
I was actually kind of a little bummed not to see any of the prequel stuff in there, even though, I mean, they're terrible.
And you won't. Confirmation not coming.
And no one's arguing that, but...
We are.
I do miss some of that stuff.
General Grievous?
The Clone Wars stuff is pretty fun to get to play some of those battles. And I think that was one of the big things, and I really hope that in the DLC in the future, I know it's probably not going to be a thing, but hopefully maybe they put some of that in.
Confirmed.
Guys, keep it up.
Next
it's
game.
It's been, what, like forever? 10 years almost? Anyways, that's all
it
I got.
It feels like 20, Cyrus.
See you guys. Bye.
See ya, Cyrus.
So I was hoping that this call would have, you know, had us do a quick little more discussion on Star Wars Battlefront and the current recent update and the news of the new updates. But we covered all that in the news, so...
You don't need to.
As you know, I'm rank 41.
Ask Cyrus to send in his gamer tag for us.
Yeah, do that privately. Scope show at What is it? Comments@thescopeshow.com.
Wow.
The heck was our email address?
Wow.
Wow.
Send that up.
I could read my screen here. And it would
send that up, Cyrus.
Anyway, if you are also on PS4 and you want to make friends with us, your Scope players, send us an email at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call our voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. As you can tell, it works because Cyrus called in.
It does. It does.
And regaled us with compliments. All right. We're also on all the social media channels. Just look for The Scope Show. I'm sure you'll find us there. You can also watch us on YouTube. That's youtube.com/The Scope Show, or become a patron on Patreon. Patreon.com/The Scope Show. You can pledge as little as $1 an episode. Cancel anytime. Set a monthly cap. It's a little bit a way to help us, to help pay our bandwidth bills and, you know, buy us fancy microphones and conditioner for our hair so we look sexy on camera. Yeah. Love I haven't it. Looked at our Amazon tally from the holidays. I should do that.
If you got any post-holiday shopping to do, don't forget Amazon. Not forget it.
Thescopeshow.com/Amazon. There's our affiliate link there, and it helps support the show when you click on that and make your purchases. Back to you, Shane.
Just make it a part of your shopping routine. So, Jared Adams, has been a long show, but it is so nice to be back, on the saddle, making things happen. Adam's playing XCOM 2 right now.
It's amazing. He got an early release.
He's a good guy. Let's wrap it up. So for Adam, Jared, I am Shane. This has been The Scope 223. We'll be back next week with more Scope.
Ron Boogie Monster.
Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
Your Scope Show.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.